This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the None and Ever podcast and football show. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and this is the one we've all been waiting for. The Claretts 2-1 away last night at the Riverside secured a win for Burnley and automatic promotion to the Premier League. It has felt inevitable over the past few weeks, but the moment is finally here and we know what we will be playing next season. This episode, I'm joined by various members of the None and Ever Analysis Show team to look back at that great victory last night and also look ahead with Statman Dave to a rather large game on Easter Monday at home as we face Sheffield United in the bid to not only get promotion, but to get that title too. So without further ado, let's go. So let's jump straight into it here. We had this build as being quite a difficult game. Middlesbrough very hot on the tails for most of the season of Sheffield United trying to force themselves into second place. Sheffield United having a little bit of a wobble in the later stages of the season and definitely looked at one point like they might give up that automatic spot that they've been maintaining with us for most of the season. Yesterday, we started off Friday morning, and we knew that the early kickoff, Luton against Millwall, if Luton failed to beat them, if it would draw or lose, then the Clarets could seal promotion away at Middlesbrough. It all started very well. Luton being held to a draw at Millwall, or at home to Millwall, against Millwall, anyway, and they didn't do what they needed to do. It's been a bit of a weird ride as well for Luton. They'd managed to get themselves not only into the playoffs, but a shot at automatic as well. So step one, they failed, leaving the door open for Vincent Kompany's Clarets to seal promotion if they wanted to. If they could do. Middlesbrough also needed to win. I think it's probably fair to say that anything less than a win for Middlesbrough probably put a nail in the coffin for their automatic promotion hopes as well. So we knew it was going to be tough. We knew that Middlesbrough were a completely different team to the one we faced earlier on in the season, and we knew we'd have our work cut out for us. Was not even a hassle. Burnley going out on front by Ashley Barnes to start off with, before conceding a shocking penalty. I think we'll come across that later on. I think that was probably one of the softest penalties that I ever got. For me, the Middlesbrough player dived. I wouldn't have given that as a penalty. Not sure it gets given with VAR in the Premier League, but there we are. So they pegged it back 1-1 early in the second half, before Conor Roberts, of all people, pipes up towards the end of the game, latching onto the end of a Nathan Teller goal into the box and puts the Clarets ahead. Once we got our noses in front again, we completely and utterly dominated that game. Middlesbrough could not get a foothold at all, and it was going to be pretty clear that we would have the professionalism and the talent to see the game out. Unbelievable scenes when the final whistle went, just elation from the players' faces, from the management, from the fans. My heart rate was at 117 beats per minute, something like that at the time that we were waiting for the last 10 minutes to go, but it was done and dusted. So I'm going to set off straight away and take you to the family Von Rigby. We are going to get Charlotte's immediate reaction to that result.
So the Rigbys were at the Riverside last night, and what a party that turned out to be, with two of, shall we call them, the old guard, scoring the goals to send Burnley shooting back up to the Premier League quicker than we think any of us have really imagined. Those scenes at full-time really epitomise what this season's been about. The players, the team, the fans, the pride, the passion and the emotion. I'm sure there's a few thick heads in training this morning. It was interesting to see how Vincent Kompany reacted to it all. The players were on top of each other, piling on, jumping on top of each other in the middle of the pitch. And he kind of took a minute to step back and to really drink in the occasion before coming over and joining in with the celebrations.
Yeah, I think there will be some sore heads this morning, not just amongst the players, but definitely on the fans as well. Great to see the emotion coming out there from the fans who were at the Riverside. But what about the game itself? How did the Clarets actually play? We said earlier on in the show that this was going to be a really tough fixture. We expected Middlesbrough to put up a strong battle. They've clawed their way up the table and put themselves as genuine automatic promotion contenders for a very good reason. Clarets have traditionally done very well against sides like that this season. We kept meeting sides and we were told that they're the in-form side or they're second or they're third in the league and still brush them away. I'm going to hand over to analyst Rich Steele, and he's going to talk very much more about how he think the actual performance went.
Hi everyone, and good morning from the night before. Rich here from the No Name Ever podcast, and what an evening we had up at the Riverside Stadium. A night that'll live long in my memory for a long, long time. Felt very privileged and humbled to be, one of the travelling supporters and, to share special memories with the Clarets fans and with my family. Like I said, it's been the most amazing season, and to round it off with that win under the lights against a quality side was a very, very special moment. I thought overall in the game we deserved the win. Obviously, went 1-0 up, really pleasing to see Barnes score, and what a turnaround he's had. I personally thought he was brilliant tonight, last night. And then we started slowly in the second half, just kind of didn't come out the traps. They looked like they got a soft penalty, but then, we were under the cosh a little bit. Well, that's what this team's done really well and improved from the start of the season. We might have gone 2-1 down, say if that was August or September, but, we dug in and then we started to stamp our authority on the game again. And again, and then you see Connor Roberts, our right back popping up in the 6-yard area to score the goal is just something that obviously would never have happened in years gone by. And Teller with another great assist, even though from where I was, he looked way offside. I've not seen another replay. And then obviously I thought we managed the game really well, especially the last 10 minutes, kept the ball a lot better. Defending our box really well. I thought Mubic commanded his box. I thought Aldakil grew into the game, and Bayer just was a colossus again. And just special mention to Brownhill and Cullen last night in that midfield. It was a real battle in there, and I thought them two were outstanding. People still question Josh Brownhill, and yeah, he lacks quality a little bit on the ball at times, but it makes me laugh when people question him, because the shift, the intensity and his work rate, and he's breaking up of possessions and doing all the ugly stuff so well, especially against good sides, is where it really counts.
Now, one thing that we didn't see coming, and one thing that did put a little bit of a damper on the promotion celebrations last night, was the announcement by Burnley legend Ashley Barnes at the end of the game that his tenure at the club is coming to an end. After over a decade of glorious years of Ashley Barnes, his contract doesn't look like it's been renewed at the end of the season, and he will be moving on. Quite an emotional announcement for both Ashley Barnes and from the fans as well. And I think a lot of the videos circulating social media today very much epitomise the raw emotion, the more upset that people are displaying towards Ashley. It's very fitting, actually, that Ashley was the one who got us off the mark and scoring last night. Many of our fans will be really sad to see Ashley go. And even if it does feel like maybe this is the right time, the club is progressing, it is bringing down its age of the players, and it is looking to play in a different way, it still feels like it's the end of an era. One of the old guard leaving the club. And Ashley Barnes has been an incredible servant to Burnley Football Club. Every single time the club has gone into a different division or it's gone into a different direction, everything that he has been asked of, he has delivered. And even this season, he may have not have scored the biggest amount of goals, but he's ended up turning a provider. He's been a great mentor for some of our young strikers and has been instrumental in the end in getting us over the line. A fellow analyst, Charlotte Rigby, is going to be one of the most devastated, I think, amongst the fans, being a massive Ashley Barnes fan. So let's head back to Charlotte and see how her reaction went to hearing that news.
Ashley Barnes, so his post-match presser gives a bit of an indication why, but he seemed pretty emotional last night during those full-time celebrations, especially with the outpouring of love from the fans during that classic, Aye, Aye, Ashley. It really showed how much he's meant to us over these last 10 or so years. He's seen us through the three promotions, he scored his 50th league goal last night, he's an ever-present in the team, he's a huge personality, and I can't help but think he's helped with some transitions for these new players this season to show him what it means to be Burnley, what it means to be part of this community. His indication that he may be leaving us at the end of the season, I will be absolutely gutted. I think we all understand there wasn't really much in the Premier League for him from a player point of view, but I was kind of hoping that he'd be able to come into the squad as maybe a coaching role. Maybe that's still in the works, who knows, but if not, we will obviously wish him the very best. He's got 7 games to go out there and go out with a bang for this team. He needs to put 3 past Blackburn to one up what he'd done earlier on in the season.
And I think one of the things that Charlotte touched on there is actually what the future looks like for Burnley and how the old players coming out and the new generation coming in will help progress this club and move us straight into the next generation and our Premier League years. Rich also touched on this in his post-match reaction. He also looked at Ashley Barnes as well. But I think he was very much reflective of where we thought we were going to be 12 months ago and where we've actually ended up.
I'm just going to come on to the atmosphere after the game. Like I said, just truly, truly special in there. You know, you could see everybody's, you know, just jubilation. Like I said, last year, Good Friday, when Sean Dyche got sacked and seemed like all doom and gloom at Turf Moor. And I remember driving home from that Newcastle game, wondering about the future of Burnley. Everyone's worried about the finances and, you know, a season's hard work and, you know, just came together in that one moment. And like I said, you know, the group of players have just gelled together so well. We've got a fantastic manager and you're really feeling positive about where the future holds. And, you know, I think it was special, the reception the crowd give to Barnes. You know, I'm not going to lie, I wrote Barnes off. You know, I'll hold my hands up to say he's proved me wrong. You know, that game against Sunderland where we went off at half time and, you know, let's be honest, he was poor to, you know, come back in the team at Blackburn and, you know, you've seen what a leader he's been and I've watched the interview back this morning and I think it is the right time to go. But, you know, what a servant and, you know, 3 promotions, like the same as Michael Duff. And you could really tell he was emotional by the applause that the fans give him. Gudmundsson, that was my favourite kind of moment, was the Icelandic clap against somebody who's been a great servant for Burnley, had a wretched time with injuries over the last few seasons and, you know, he's become a key player with company and I think we missed him in the draw against Sunderland. You know, he's come into that inside position, been superb and also does another lovely chant for Jack Cort too, who hasn't been in the team as much recently. But again, 3 really good servants, you know, for us over the years and who'll hopefully play a part next season as well. And you could just see how together the spirit was. You could see some of the younger players really taking it in and enjoy it. Obafemi looked like he enjoyed it on the Insta stories, that's for sure. And, you know, walking out of the stadium and talking to the different Burnley fans, you could just see how happy and, you know, adulated everybody was and just in such high spirits. And the common theme was, it's not that just we went up, it's been an honour, it's been a privilege to watch some of the football that we've watched. I've watched football at Turf Moor this season that I'd never thought I'd watching Burnley and seeing these young players growing into fantastic individuals, but even better into a fantastic team. And this team can win different ways now. And let's enjoy the rest of the season. Let's get the title done. I really hope we beat Sheffield on Monday after what happened at Bramall Lane. And you really think, you don't want to look ahead too much because the Premier League's a different beast. It's going to be tough, of course. But where you felt with the old board and the previous regime, you know, coming 17th was you know, they were happy with that. And even when we got into Europe, it was kind of like, right, we've done this. There's no intent to progress. And I feel with Kompany at the helm, I think he'll definitely stay into next season. I think he's a level-headed guy. And I think with Pace and the current board, they want to keep progressing the club further and further, develop younger players, develop the academy, you know, develop the women's team and everything, you know, off the pitch. You can see he's improving all the time. Even what they did in the fan zone last night was fantastic at innovation. So real special time to be a Claverts fan. Really enjoy the Easter weekend now. I'm sure there's a few sore heads this morning too. But yeah, fantastic evening. Felt very humbled and honoured to be in that away crowd last night. And that's what we spend our money for when we travel up and down the country and we put up with the bad times, is for moments like that. And I feel very fortunate, you know, after growing up, watching us struggle a little bit, to see Burnley get promoted four times to the Premier League is, you know, is amazing. And kind of with each season, we've got better and better. And hopefully we can get that 100 points and get close to that Reading total. But yeah, very happy this morning. Looking forward to a nice day today in the nice weather. So yeah, cheers Claverts fans and enjoy your weekend.
And another one of our panellists who will, of course, be feeling the shockwaves of the loss of Ashley Barnes is George Poole. We sent him off as well to give us his immediate reaction after that game and to reflect on not just the loss of Ashley Barnes, but just how well he performed last night as well.
Good evening, folks. George Poole here from the No Name Ever podcast. You'll have to excuse the dishevelled look tonight. I'm just on my way back from the gym. If we're being kind, I guess you could call it a Grealish look, but, you know, I don't like to brag. So, reflect on last night's game. Wow, 2-1 away at Middlesbrough, promotion confirmed. Our fourth promotion, unbelievably, in the last 14 years. And, I mean, I said it in a video last night, I think you could make a case that this last decade following Burnley has been the best decade in the club's history. Because, yeah, we've won two Division 1 titles, absolutely no takeaway from those amazing teams. But in the last 10 years, we've had three promotions to the Premier League, two top 10 finishes, a gallivant into Europe. Does it get better than this? I don't think so. So reflect on last night's game. I thought Ashley Barnes was absolutely tremendous. Obviously, he said after the game that it would be his last game for Burnley, very sadly. But his performance in the game was absolutely exemplary. He put us 1-0 up, just as he did against Wigan 9 years ago. Remarkable, really, to say what he's achieved at the club, how long he's been at the club, and how he's just been able to revitalise his career this season. So, really sad to see him go, but what a fairy tale ending. I think now my attention has been changed to not just the title, but to the record points total. We've got 7 games left. We need 6 wins and a draw to equal the record points total of 106. And we need 7 wins out of 7 to beat the record points total. If we can get past Sheffield United on Monday, which, by the way, is going to be no easy task, especially given the state of some of our players last night, and rightfully so, they enjoyed a little tipple. So, you know, Monday is going to be a really difficult game, but if we can get past that, get a win against Sheffield United, the momentum that's going to be in the squad is just going to be off the charts. So, fingers crossed we can go for the record points total over the course of the next 7 games. But just fantastic to get promotion finally secured. It's felt like a very, very long time coming. But what an incredible season we've had. Let's enjoy these last 7 games, celebrate the players, celebrate the staff, celebrate Ashley Barnes, and let's give Barnes a proper send-off, and let's propel those players over the line towards not just the title, but the record points total. Reading, we're coming for you.
Indeed. And let's give over back to Charlotte for one more time when she gives us a final word. Of course, the man that masterminded all of this, the one and only Vincent Kompany, put in charge just 12 months ago to take over from the one and only Sean Dyche. We'd had the same manager and the same squad and the same style and everything for the longest time. And just 12 months ago, Good Friday 2022 signalled the start of a new era. Sean Dyche leaving the club and Vincent Kompany coming in the summer. What a remarkable, remarkable story. And we are very, very lucky to have him. I think most people very much believe that he has got some career ahead of him, and he will probably be a top 6 manager and certainly a Champions League manager before long. So let's leave a final word on Vincent Kompany back to Charlotte.
Vincent Kompany has done an absolutely fantastic job this season with this team. He's come in as a newbie to management in the English leagues. Obviously, he's been one so much as a player in these leagues, but management's a whole new ball game, and he's really taken the bull by the horns. He started with a squad that was being massively depleted with people leaving, these Premier League players leaving, and he's really had to build up his own team from scratch, his own play style from scratch, teach that kind of style to the lads that were still there. And wow, what an amazing job he's done. I think even he couldn't imagine being where we are at the moment. So Burnley promoted back up to the Premier League. Let's have a huge promotion party on Monday and set our sights on going up as champions.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So we look ahead now and we test our minds and we dust our slightly jaded brains to focus on Monday night. It is, of course, Sheffield United at home. Another big game. We know we've already wrapped up automatic promotion, but these players desperately want the title as well. We are, as it stands, 11 points clear of Sheffield United in second. A win for Sheffield United still puts us, what, 8 points clear of them with six games to go. Does feel very much like the championship is in our hands. It'd be some blow up to not get the title from here. But we do still have to focus, Sheffield United. Maybe not as worried anymore about Borough and Luton behind them after those disappointing results for those two clubs on Friday. I do still fully expect that Burnley will beat Sheffield United. So let's get on and have a look at the preview of that. Now, before we do have a quiz question that we need to give an answer to. Before that Middlesbrough preview, we asked you the following. It was an Easter-related quiz. It was in three parts, if I remember correctly. Dave sent you the following. When was the last time Burnley played a match at Turf Moor on Good Friday? Which team did they play? And which player scored the only goal? Now, we didn't have any correct answers to this, listeners. What's going on? Why are you not doing your homework? The answer was in 2012, Brighton and Hove Albion, and Charlie Austin scored in a 1-0 win. Well, you don't need to wait much longer to get another quiz question. We will be getting that information at the end of the show. So all you need to do is stay tuned. So let's firstly head over for the first time this show to Dave Statman Roberts, who is in our preview show studio, and he's going to give us the championship head-to-head.
Although we never played them in the old fourth division during our seven seasons in the basement, Burnley have played Sheffield United in the other three top levels of the English Football League pyramid. There were two seasons in the third tier, they were during the 1980s, and we've had another 36 seasons together in the top flight, including two quite recently. But for this feature, it's the second tier seasons we're interested in. This season is our 19th together at this level, and it's our 18 previous home games in the second tier, which we're going to look back at. The five second tier matches at Turf Moor in the 1930s produced two Burnley wins, two defeats and one draw. And we had to wait until the late 1970s for our next matches at this level in the old second division. In March 1977, Malcolm Smith scored the only goal for Burnley in a 1-0 win. And that was followed by a more convincing win at Turf Moor in March 1978. Although Simon Stainrod put the visitors ahead just before half-time, the Clarets had taken a 2-1 lead in the second half, before the dismissals of Alan Woodward and Andy Keeley. And it eventually finished 4-1. The other home game from the 1970s was a 1-1 draw in March 1979. Into the 1990s, and Burnley once again had the upper hand, but we're going to revisit that meeting as our memory match later in the show. That leaves another 9 matches from this millennium, starting with another couple of Burnley wins. Andy Payton scored a brace in a 2-0 win in November 2000, and it was a Glenn Little masterclass the following season in November 2001, as Burnley repeated the 2-0 scoreline from 12 months earlier, thanks to goals from Paul Cook and Gareth Taylor. Our visitors came out on top in August 2002, as Ife Onora scored the only goal of the game. But Burnley bounced back with a 3-2 win in December 2003, with all the goals coming in an eventful first half, which also saw the visitors reduced to 10 men after the break, following the dismissal of Michael Brown. Honours were even in August 2004, as we drew 1-1 in Steve Cottrell's first match as Burnley manager. Micah Hyde scored in his debut, and future Claret striker Andy Gray netted the equaliser for the visitors. We suffered a couple of defeats in the next 2 matches, both by a 2-1 scoreline. They were in August 2005 and April 2008. A slightly more youthful Billy Sharp was one of the Blades scorers in the second of those 2 matches. Our 2 more recent Championship home games against Sheffield United at this level both ended as Burnley wins. Martin Patterson's first half header sealed the win and 3 vital points for Burnley as the two teams fought it out to reach the playoffs, in which Burnley ultimately triumphed again at Wembley the following month. And then on New Year's Day 2011, Stuart Gray was in caretaker charge of the Clarets, following the departure of Brian Laws as Burnley came from a goal down to win 4-2. So in summary, Burnley's record for second tier home games against Sheffield United is played 18, won 10, drawn 3 and lost 5. Burnley have scored 31 goals in these matches, compared with 20 for Sheffield United.
Now, our new feature, listeners, you know that we're enjoying this in the second half of this season. We are rating our opposition's celebrity fans. Again, Sheffield United, not ones that immediately spring to mind, but there's one rather obvious one, which tends to be the case for most of these ones. I don't know if any of you had any ideas before this feature as to who you would put in their celebrity fan base. But here we go. This is a shortlist that Dave Statman Roberts has given us. Coming in at number one, of course, Sean Bean, the actor, including Lord of the Rings. Was he in Lord of the Rings, Sean Bean? I know him as Game of Thrones, but... Yeah, Sean Bean, obviously the most famous Sheffield United fans. Coming in number two, cricketer Joe Root, the former England captain. Captain. Paul Heaton, the singer of House Martins and Beautiful South, comes in at number three. At number four, we've got Joe Elliott, the lead singer of Def Leppard. Four, Jessica Ennis-Hill, retired athlete, world Olympian and champion heptathlete. And at number six, Kelly Brook, the boxer, recently retired welterweight world champion. Now, what did our panel, we put this to our panel to ask them what they scored. And I think this was quite an impressive one, actually. We got some solid scores here. Tom Whitty came straight in at 7.5 out of 10. He was pretty impressed. Rich Steele gave the Blades an almighty 9 out of 10. He said there's some outstanding sports stars, England's greatest ever batsman and one of the best ever athletes in Jessica Ennis, plus a former world champ boxer. And of course, Sean Bean is class. So Rich Steele is not messing around here. He's coming straight in at number 9. That's then backed up by George Poole, who also comes in at number 9. He says Paul Heaton is a legend. And Dave comes in at 8.5. And Adam Dennett, our FPL expert, comes in at 8. That's quite a difficult one for me to moderate, really. I don't feel like I can go any lower than 8. So I'm going to split the difference between the 8s and the 9s, and I'm going to give Sheffield United 8.5 out of 10. Well done, Blaze. I think that probably puts you, that might put you top of the table. I shall ask Dave Roberts to see where you stand. But congratulations, a very strong celebrity fan base. Back to Dave then in the preview show studio, and he's going to give us this week's memory match.
Back in 1994, it was quite rare for matches to be played on a Sunday. It was only Burnley's 8th competitive match on a Sunday, and only the 3rd ever at Turf Moor. It was also relatively rare for football to be broadcast live, and so the fact that the match was also televised on ITV in the Granada and Yorkshire regions added to the intrigue, especially as it was the first time a Burnley match had ever been broadcast live on TV in the UK in colour. Jimmy Mullen was the Burnley manager and Dave Bassett was in charge of the Blades. There were just under 11,500 at Turf Moor on the 20th of November 1994, and despite it being on a Sunday, it was a 3 p.m. kick-off. Here's how the goals came. Burnley took the lead in the 24th minute after a surging run from Adrian Heath, whose cross from the byline on the left found Liam Robinson and his header went in despite Alan Kelly's efforts to keep it out. The visitors were level just before the break, as Kevin Gage's firmly struck low cross from the right was diverted into his own net by the unfortunate Mark Winstanley. Ironically, it was a Sheffield United fan and former player Jamie Hoyland who helped the Clarets back into the lead. In the 54th minute, Adrian Randall's right-wing corner was won in the air by Steve Davis and fell to Jamie Hoyland, who finished with a fierce low shot from 12 yards. We made it 3-1 after 71 minutes after Randall passed to Robinson and his cross from the right found substitute John Gale, who headed in from a brave aerial challenge with Alan Kelly. Burnley extended the lead further in the 78th minute, when Adrian Heath's low cross from the right led to a goalmouth melee before the ball came to Steve Davis, who fired in a low shot to make it 4. But there was still time for the visitors to pull one back in the 83rd minute, when a free kick was played to Phil Starbuck and he crossed into the box for substitute Andy Scott to head in from 12 yards. That was the way it stayed, and Burnley captain Steve Davis was given the Man of the Match award.
We don't have an opposition view this week. I think Blades fans have gone a little bit quiet on us. I think they're all a little bit concerned about their end of season and having to play us on Monday. So they've decided not to give us a preview ahead of the game. So we're going to go straight to the referee news for this preview show. And taking charge on Monday evening will be Michael Salisbury of Penwitham near Preston. Oh, joy. Listeners, Dave has quite handily put in my show script, Penwitham near Preston in Lancashire. Thanks for that, Dave. I'm pretty sure we all know where Preston is, but I, you know, very kind of you to give us that information. It will be the first time he has refereed a match involving Burnley. However, he is the son of another referee, Graham Salisbury, who refereed a couple of Burnley matches. They were a 3-1 League Cup win at Morecambe in 2010 and also a 1-0 away win in the league at Bolton Wanderers in February 2014, in which Sam Buck scored the winner. So we'll try and take that as being a lucky omen for us. We don't really have a pre-match discussion at the moment. The team are all away for Easter weekend, so we've had to put together this preview show from various production studios across the country and voice notes on phones. So we're going to do your full analysis show after the Monday night game at home to Sheffield United and give a reaction to the whole of the Easter weekend. But we want to hear your thoughts ahead of the game, please. Can you drop us a line on social media or drop us an email and let us know what you think the game's going to be? Who's he going to play? Is he going to drop anybody? Is Vincent Kompany going to go all out for the title and that record points target? Who knows? Let us know your thoughts, please, ahead of the game. Last but not means least, we're going to head over to Adam Dennett, our FPL expert in the Fantasy Premier League studio, because we have just finished a game week and he needs to give us all of the movers and shakers and the current stats at the top of the known and ever Fantasy Premier League, where we are very, very close to crowning our 2023 champions. That's over to you, Adam.
Hi, Adam here with your double game week 29 Fantasy Premier League update. Starting with your team of the week, lining up in a 4-4-2 formation and would have scored you a massive 156 points. In goal, Martinez from Villa with a clean sheet, 3 bonus points and 10 saves in Villa's double game week victories away at Chelsea and Leicester. In defence, shows the importance of a double game week, because even though West Ham got battered at home to Newcastle 5-1, they've got 3 defenders in the team, Agard, Kehrer and Zouma, all with goals and assists and a clean sheet each between them in the 1-0 win against Southampton, but then, yeah, didn't gain much from the second fixture. And completing the back four is Kieran Trippier, pretty much a mainstay in this team of the week all season, with an assist, a clean sheet and 3 bonus points. coming in Newcastle's 2-0 victory at home to Manchester United and then playing points for the West Ham game. Into midfield, the only Brighton player making it into the side was Mitoma with a goal, assist and one bonus point in their double game week draw away at home to Brentford and win away at Bournemouth. Carrying on in midfield, Joe Linton with Newcastle only started one of the games but got two goals and two bonus points in the win at West Ham. Kevin De Bruyne is the only single game week player in the team, which says a lot for his form right now, with a goal, assist and three bonus points in City's 4-1 rout at home to Liverpool. And completing the midfield is Sinisterra from Leeds with a goal and three bonus points in their, well, they lost 4-1 away at Arsenal, and then his goal and bonus points came in their vital win at home to Forest midweek. Up front, two Englishmen, you've got Callum Wilson, typical FPL. A lot of people have gone for Isak because he was the form striker going into the game week, but Wilson came off the bench against United to score and then scored two goals in that victory at West Ham, meaning he was the top scoring player in the game week with 19 points, three goals, four bonus points. And completing the lineup, Ollie Watkins, a goal in each game in Villa's victories. So yeah, two goals and five bonus points across the week, getting him 17 points. On to the No Name Ever rankings. A few changes in the top five. A pivotal double game week. In fifth place is Conor Mulligan, in good company, 1955 points. Ursay in fourth place with 1962 points. Joe Bailiff dropping to third with 1972 points. Tom Deenan up into second with 1973 points. And leading the way by 14 points are my vintage Clarets. So come on, you all need to up your game. You can't have me winning this. But yeah, currently on 1,987 points. Because of the fixture schedule over Easter, game week 30 is already underway, wedged in between Burnley's bank holiday fixtures. Just be aware of an upcoming blank game week 32 with Man United, Man City, Brighton and Chelsea all blanking. And then double game weeks coming up in game week 34 and 37, where Brighton, Man City, Man United will feature in both. The No Name Never Cup got underway in game week 29, where if you're in the top, however many you qualified, and the first knockout fixture of that is this week with Lee Banks defending his title from last year. So I'll give you some updates on that one, especially when it gets to the latter stages. The game week 31 deadline is next Saturday, the 15th of April at 11 a.m. I'm wishing you all green arrows for the upcoming game weeks. Up the promoted Clarets.
Burnley's promotion on Good Friday was the 12th time that the club has moved up a league in the English pyramid. Eight of our 12 promotions were from the second tier back up to the top flight. Five of those eight have been in the last 50 years. Although during that time, we've also had three promotions from the third to the second tier, as well as one from the fourth to the third. More recently, the last 15 seasons has provided us with four promotion-winning campaigns, which slightly softens the blow of the three relegations in between. On an individual level, Ashley Barnes matched Michael Duff by being part of three of our promotions back to the Premier League. Although it seems that rather like Duffo, he'll finish on a high and probably won't be able to enjoy a third spell playing for us in the Premier League.
And finally, I'm going to lead you with this week's quiz question, which is as follows. Ashley Barnes joined Burnley from... Oh, it had to be an Ashley Barnes question, didn't it? I'm very sad that poor Ashley's leaving. Oh, okay. Focus, Natalie, focus. Ashley Barnes joined Burnley from Brighton and Hove Albion back in January 2014. But against which club did he score his first goal for Burnley? You know, listeners, how you can submit your answer. You can tweet us at None and Ever. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page, or you can email us at previewshow@noneandnever.net. That has been the end of our promotion party. We wanted to get something to you ahead of that game on Monday because we're all just delighted. What a season. What a team. What a manager. I think most of us will agree that we've never seen anything like it in all of our time watching Burnley. This is Burnley for the new generation. This is Burnley in 2023 and beyond. And the Premier League needs to rip up everything that it ever thought it knew about Burnley Football Club, because we are coming for you. I've been Attila Bromley. This has been the Known and Ever podcast and football show. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonadnever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are, as ever, proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.